faith. While that leadership, especially Felix, hoped that a bribe would come to free Paul. Paul did not waver in his faith, though, but continued to boldly preach Jesus Christ. And just as Paul challenged King Agrippa to not wait but accept Christ, Pastor Gene left us with a similar challenge, both to personally not wait on accepting Christ and to not wait on being witnesses to all those around us. So today we pick up with Paul being shipped to Rome to be brought before Caesar. As if that was not a storm enough for him brewing, our passage today deals with a terrible storm that was for all those aboard that ship. In fact, it was a storm that was so terrible it left even the most seasoned sailors without hope of survival. So as Paul, as prisoner, set out towards Rome, they lost a lot of time with how the winds and currents had taken them. We see this in verse 10 and following, when Paul warns them, "Men, I see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also." They had run out of time for the predictable good weather and sailing, and instead of listening to Paul, the centurion chose to head out to sea when everything seemed calm and a wind was favorable. And once they were out there and past the point of no return for their journey, that is when the storm hit. But before the storm hits, we see that God is already working, and that should give us hope for our own lives. This is important to realize as we consider what's going on, how many of us realize and develop our relationship with God now and call on him deeply and personally. How many of us realize and develop our relationship with God now and call on him deeply and personally every single day, regardless of the situation? Instead, we tend to wait until the storms hit and we are in the throes of it before we surrender completely to God, and then listen to see how he is working in our lives. When we look back after the storm is complete, we often see that God was already working and preparing us and giving us warning signs if we were only paying attention. We see here that God works in our lives in such times of putting the right people in the right places at the right times. How do we see this here? First, Julius Centurion was put in charge over Paul and over the other prisoners that were being taken to Rome. Now, we do not know much about this man, but we know that he was put in charge. We know who put him in charge, because during this time and throughout the journey, he shows compassion to Paul. For when they landed in Sidon in verse 3, the centurion allowed Paul to go see his friends in Sidon, friends who just happened to be there at the exact time. As far as we know, there was no church recorded in Sidon. So it is likely that Paul's friends were also traveling. God put them together at the same time. I don't think that was a coincidence. And not just friends in Sidon, but we see that there were two others that put with Paul on his journey. First, it is generally accepted and seen that Luke was here. As he wrote most of Acts, he was traveling with Paul a lot. He was a trusted friend. And we see it here in verse 2, "We boarded a ship," instead of "Paul boarded a ship." God placed a longtime friend and companion with Paul for the journey. And he had another blessing with him, a man named Aristarchus. It is believed that this person, Aristarchus, was named and present for this journey, not just because it says it in the scripture, but because we don't really see Aristarchus anywhere else in scripture. And for him to have been able to go on that journey with him as Paul was a prisoner, it is commonly accepted and believed that this man was most likely a personal slave to Paul, a person who loved and traveled with him to care for him. God put important people to care for him and to keep him in his spirits up as this journey was about to test everybody on board. Julius and company did not listen to the warning. As we saw, the signs were there, but instead of taking those signs and going, you know, let's turn back, let's winter up, they wanted to keep going. Most likely they wanted to get home or they wanted to continue their journey and not have to wait out a winter. But they pushed it. The pilot, the seasoned sailors decided, nope, we've got it. We've got it under control. So instead of listening to Paul, they turned to other sources. They were also in a port that couldn't winter, so they knew they had to go somewhere. But instead of turning back to where they had just been a few days before, they set out on the long journey from it's probably about 70 to 100 miles or more. It was a long journey. It was the longest part of their journey from Jerusalem area all the way to Rome. A quick note of reflection for us. As Julius the centurion made the decision based on majority vote, based on the wisdom of those that should have understood the waters, instead of listening to Paul and God, majority rule is a dangerous thing to follow. We see it multiple times in Scripture. King Saul went up against Goliath and the Philistines. No one in the whole army of God would stand up against Goliath. Instead, they cowered. God used a little shepherd boy named David to defeat Goliath. Remember the time when in the desert when Moses sent 12 representatives into the promised land to survey it and to come back and report everything that they had seen. 10 of the 12 came back and said it would be impossible to take the promised land because they were too big and there was too much going on. Two, Joshua and Caleb, focused not on how mighty it was that the land that they were God had promised to them, but instead on how mighty their God was. If they had focused on that, they might all whole people of Israel might not have had to have waited another 40 years in the desert. Listening to majority rule is a dangerous thing when it is not, when we are not listening to God, when he warns us. Despite that, though, God continued to work in the situation. God uses the storm. God uses the storm in our lives for many things. To get our attention, to make us realize we don't have everything under control. During this process, we have to clear a lot of stuff out. We have to let go of our pride. We have to let go of our control. We have to clear the decks and clear what's weighing us down. As the storm got worse and worse, those on the ship got more and more desperate, and they started to remove everything that would not be necessary for their immediate survival. They began by getting rid of the extra cargo that was weighing them down, and then they cleared off the tackle from the deck with their bare hands. How often do we realize we have a lot of stuff cluttering our space or weighing us down, taking us away from God? Taking us away from time with him, growing closer to him, developing a healthy relationship with him and with those around us that he's calling us to. We spend our time and we get distracted by many things that are useful, that are good, but that ultimately, when not cautioned and stewarded correctly, get in the way of that most important relationship. We let movies, we let TV shows, we let parties, we let games, computers, all kinds of things get in the way. Sometimes things get in the way that are beyond our control, that are not choices that we would have made. Things like loss of job, struggles with finances, natural disasters, struggles with relationships, division, brokenness. There are many things that get in the way. Good things and horrible things. God doesn't cause these things to happen, but God will no less use the things that we more often cause as problems for ourselves to wake us up when we have to clear the deck, clear out the things that are distracting us, and we realize that the most important source, the thing we haven't spent our time on, the thing we went to last, our God, is the thing we needed most and we needed first. And if we had been listening, then that storm either would have been avoided or that storm still would have come, but we would have been far better prepared for it. Even so, God is with us. God was with Paul and those people and those men. God took care of them through that whole process. They tried over and over to take control. And at the very end, at the very last bit, when they had finally given up all hope, they had gotten rid of everything they could get rid of, and they were about to dump the food, and they'd put their anchors down. The storm was too much for them, and they gave up hope. That is when God spoke. God didn't send an angel to Paul before. God sent the angel to Paul once everybody was ready. And God sent an angel to encourage, to tell them that there was still hope. And in fact, he was going to save all of them. The ship would be lost, as they were warned, but no loss of life. In the illustration of the ship and of the anchors and of the rope, something really stuck out to me as I was reading. And I was, doing some research on it. God is our anchor. God, when we put the anchor down properly, we let it go, God will hold us to where we need to be held. Now, in the middle of that storm, in the middle of everything going on, they put down four anchors in hopes that something would catch. And while I don't know all the particulars for sailing, and I'm not going to even try to be an expert on that, I think the illustration, though, still holds that they put down four anchors. They split what rope they had left to put between four anchors in hope of catching something, in hope that they might be held tight and wait out the last of the storm. Do we sometimes put down more than just our hope in God? Do we put down more than just one anchor, more than just God? If we use rope as an illustration for the length of our faith, how much faith do we have? Can we go out into the deep waters? Can we go out into the storm? Do we have enough faith that when the time comes to rely on God, that we have enough rope to hit the bottom and for that anchor to hold? Or are we only equipped to sail in the shallow waters and in the easy? Are we only equipped to go out in a big ship that God has made for us and only go just past the shoreline? Do we have faith to hold on to God and trust him to take us wherever he's going to take us, and know that we are in his hands and we'll be right where he calls us? Or are we like Polly, and we get sucked up, we get taken by the storm, and then we're left stunned because we didn't know or we didn't trust in our God. We didn't realize and develop, not, I shouldn't say realize, we didn't develop when we had the chance, our relationship with God and intimacy with God to know that he will take care of us and that he is working in every situation. Is our relationship with him healthy or is it not? Did we take the challenge from last week and make sure that our relationship was right with God and open ourselves to whoever is in our lives that we need to share with? Because there isn't much time. There are storms hitting us all the time. And if you're not in a storm now, thank God. But don't wait. Be prepared and be ready. Because the storms are going to hit. But if you're ready, like Paul was, then you have that faith in God. Then you know that God will work it all through. Whether you make it through that storm or not, you are in God's hands. You're in the only place that is safe and trustworthy, regardless of what happens.